I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. And this will be the text for our meditation this evening as we consider how to overcome temptations. As we conclude this series of messages, this is a very appropriate title and theme to consider and to meditate upon. And this title suggests a desire to want to overcome temptation. It's a very simple but also a profound title because it also suggests that there may be some who would struggle to overcome temptation. The question then is, what must I do? What can we do to resist the wiles of the evil one? What are our defenses against the attacks of the devil? How can we withstand temptations? The declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, is a very simple one. The Lord Jesus Christ simply says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." How to overcome temptations? If you are looking for some secret recipes, something that will just solve all your problems, if you are looking for a magical formula, I don't have this formula for you. What I have is just a simpler declaration from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening, we just want to consider two things which the Lord Jesus Christ stated here. In order to overcome temptation, watch and pray. Now, this is a very important declaration because in the book of Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, this same truth is repeated. In Mark chapter 14, verse 38, the Lord Jesus Christ there said, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." And again, it's repeated for us in Luke chapter 22, verse 46. "And said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." So there the instruction and the command is repeated just in a slightly different way. So this evening we just want to meditate on two things. How to overcome temptations. Watch and pray. Now what does it mean to watch? There are several words in the Bible which is used to describe the act of watching. Now, there's one word which the Bible would use to describe a watchman or a guard who will guard a particular place. He will watch in order to observe and to protect. Now, this is not that word. The Bible would also use another word, carrying the idea of to awake. Sometimes it's translated in the English Bible, the King James Bible, as to wake. And there is also translated sometimes as watch. So there's a word there which means to watch with the idea of not sleeping, keeping yourself awake. Now, this is also not this word found here. This word watch in Matthew chapter 26 here, it describes how a person ought to be vigilant, to be sober. It carries the idea of a person being awake, but it's often tied together with the command to be sober. That is to be awake and to be aware. This word is translated in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, as being vigilant. Be sober and be vigilant. Now, the difference between this word and the other two words is that this has an emphasis on a self-watch. That is, you must watch yourself to make sure that you're awake. When you guard and you observe, you are guarding a particular post or a particular place. But when you are now watchful, this word here, it carries the idea of being awake, self-aware, being watchful of your own self. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying now. Watch yourself. Now this word watch also is in the continuous tense. That means the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us to keep on watching. And it's a command here. This is a command to be watchful, to not stop watching. The duty of the Christian is to carry on watching, to be awake, never go back to your slumber and sleep. Watch. Now, but what are we supposed to watch out for? The Lord Jesus Christ says here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, he says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." So we are supposed to be watchful so that we will not enter into temptation. We are supposed to be awake so that we will not enter into temptation. Notice here that the Lord Jesus Christ did not merely say that ye fall into temptation. Now in the book of James, for example, the Apostle James would say, do not fall into temptation. But here the word is to not enter, carrying the idea of not allowing yourself to go into temptation. Because there would be some who would willingly put themselves and allow temptations into their lives. Temptations are really not something that you would fall into, but you would lower your guard and you allow yourself to be deceived and led into it. So the Lord Jesus Christ says here, watch that you don't allow yourself to enter into temptation. The question is, what was this temptation that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about? Now, in order to understand this, we need to look at the context preceding the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. And please turn your Bibles and look to Matthew chapter 26, verse 30 to verse 35. What we have here is an account where the Lord Jesus Christ was nearing the end of his ministry. Now, he was about to go to the cross. And as he was preparing himself and his disciples to go to the cross, he brought the disciples to the upper room. From verse 30 to verse 35 now, the events and the conversation that took place here took place in the upper room where the Lord Jesus Christ had just administered the Lord's Supper. He instituted the Lord's Supper. He partook the Last Supper with them. And now he gave them this very solemn warning. The mood would be very sober and solemn. There would be a lot of tension because the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken about his betrayal. He has already told them, there will be someone who will betray me. And the disciples had asked, is it I? Is it I? So the tension in the air at that time, it would be very intense. It would be filled with fear, doubt, insecurity. And adding to that, the Lord Jesus Christ now said in verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. So from the upper room, the Lord Jesus Christ now led the disciples to the Mount of Olives, which would be the other side. And then he said, but after I am risen again, verse 32, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So what was the warning here? The warning was that all ye shall be offended. You will betray me. You will deny me. You will be tempted to depart from me. You will be scattered. Now a similar warning was given in Mark chapter 14, verse 26 to 31. So you don't have to turn to that because the warning and the statements, if you look at it, they are very similar. However, in Luke chapter 22, a similar warning is given, but there's an aspect where it's found in Luke that is not found in Matthew and Mark. So let us look at the one in Luke as well. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 and verse 32. Now, this was addressed particularly to Peter. The Lord Jesus Christ said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So what was the temptation? The temptation is to fail in faith. Satan will sift you. The word sift there means to shake you up. He will shake you to the core. And the temptation is to have your faith totally shaken and broken down. To have your faith fail. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, I have prayed for you. But this was the temptation. Now in John chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ also gave a similar warning. Look at John chapter 16, verse 32. And by the way, these are all parallel passages. The one in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they are parallel passages. The one in John is the most detailed account of this instruction to the disciples. Okay? In John chapter 16, verse 32, the Bible here says, as he warned the disciples, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken, unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So what was the temptation? The temptation, the immediate temptation, was to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, to deny him, to fail in the faith, to depart from him, to be offended because of him. This was the temptation. When we come, go back to Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. When we come to the Garden of Gethsemane, therefore, when the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples to watch, that ye enter not into temptation, what was he really asking them to watch? He was asking them to guard themselves and watch against complacency. What was the temptation? The temptation to betray, to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at Peter. How did he respond to the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ? Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I not be offended, or will I never be offended. Though all men may deny you, I will not deny you. Thus, the first thing we can see with regard to this watching is that we must watch against complacency. Now, how to overcome temptations? Watch against complacency. Complacency is a disease. It spreads. It lulls us into a state and a frame of mind where we are so relaxed, where we have lowered our guard to the point where we are no longer aware, no longer alert to the dangers that surround us. Look at how Peter and what Peter said. The Lord Jesus Christ, the whole mood here was very solemn. Yet Peter could still be so arrogant and boastful. Though all men may offend, shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. The disciples, they were complacent. Now, did they heed the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ? We know that they didn't. Because they slept. They continue sleeping. They continue lowering their guard. The worrying thing for many Christians is that there are many who have fallen into this state of complacency. They have been cruising through their whole Christian life. They are no longer guarded against the wiles of the evil one. And this is one of the most dangerous things, where we deceive ourselves thinking that we are spiritually mature, thinking that our hearts would be able to resist the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then we think that though others may be tempted, we will not fall into the same temptation. This is why when the preachers, they preach, it will apply to everyone else but me. I am immune. I am a mature Christian. Now, that's a very strange idea that some Christians have. That the more mature they are allowed to dabble into the things of the world. Take, for example, the entertainments of the world. When you are a younger, new Christian, you are very careful what you watch, what you do, what you say, the things that you read, lest these things influence your mind. But as you grow more mature, we seem to have adopted this attitude that because I'm a more mature Christian, these things will not affect me. Now, if a child does this, if a child watches this movie, then it's very dangerous because the child would be easily influenced by the philosophy of this show. So better don't let the child watch this show. But me, I'm a mature Christian. I'm an adult. So it's okay for me to watch this kind of movies or watch this kind of show or to engage in this kind of recreation and entertainment. Why do we have this idea that just because we are adults, we have been Christians for a longer period of time, we are immune to temptation? If you are more mature, you ought to be more watchful. If you are not watchful, you are not as mature as you think. Watch and pray. There are some who are so complacent in their Christian faith. What else are we to watch for? The Lord Jesus Christ also told them to watch against their own sinful and selfish ambitions. That's very interesting because you turn to Luke chapter 22. By the way, this evening, please try to follow me because Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they are parallel passages. And there are various aspects which are found in Luke, for example, that may not be found in Matthew and Mark. So let us try to look at that. Now, in Luke chapter 22, another aspect of this watching is where we need to watch against sinful ambitions. In Luke chapter 22, verse 24, the Bible tells us here, again, this is the same scene in the upper room. And in verse 24, the Bible says, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." Verse 25, "And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations." Now, what was this? What was going on here? There was a strife amongst the disciples. Who should be accounted the greatest? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ had already told them that someone will betray me. You can see this in verse 21 of Luke chapter 22. Someone will betray me, and I will soon go away from you. What is your concern now? The concern of the disciples was that, who will take over your place, Lord? Who is the one who will be your successor? Who is the greatest? Now, this is amazing. The Lord Jesus Christ has just spoken and reminded them of his death, his soon coming death, of his betrayal. And yet, in the midst of all this, the disciples were merely concerned about who shall be greatest. This was what they had to watch themselves against: sinful and selfish ambitions. They have allowed their own ambitions to distract them, and they have lowered their guards because of their ambitions. Now, this is how deadly and subtle the lust for power can be. The lust to be great, to want to be recognized, to want to have positions and authority. Who shall be greatest? Sinful ambitions can cloud our minds. Why is it that so many people fall into temptations? Because of their sinful and selfish ambitions. Where our goal, our pursuits in life is to be number one, to be the best, to be the top in school, to be the top in the workplace where we are at. And then we allow our pursuits of all these things to consume our time, to consume our energy, and to consume our life. Watch yourself against these ambitions. What is your ambition? What is your goal? The Lord Jesus Christ reminded the disciples, serve. Don't seek to be greatest, but seek to serve. Your ambition should be to do the will of God. Now, when we forget this, This is how we often allow ourselves to succumb to temptations. Watch. Watch against doubt. That's another thing that we can see, and we can see this also in Luke chapter 22. Now, it's very interesting because sometimes we are very harsh upon the disciples. In the Garden of Gethsemane, they slept. But why did they fall asleep? Now, you look at Luke chapter 22, verse 45 and verse 46. Here, Luke actually gave us the reason why they slept. The Bible tells us in verse 45, "And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow." And then verse 46, "And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Why were they sleeping? Because they were filled with grief. The word sorrow here describes deep grief. They were so afraid. They were so saddened in their hearts when they heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he had to go to the cross, that they were so filled and consumed with their grief that they slept. I'm not sure whether you have experienced this before. There are some people who may be so affected and so grieved by something that they cannot sleep. But there are also others who may be so affected by their grief. They cry and they are so tired out because of the grief that is in their heart, the burdens that are in their heart, that they cannot help but just sleep. Now, this seems to be the case here. They were so sorrowful that they slept. Now, but this is still something that they have to watch for. Why were they so sorrowful? Was it not because of the doubt that they had? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he did tell them of his death. But the Lord Jesus Christ had also told them about his resurrection, of his life again. What was the reason why he had to go to the grave? To save them from their sins. And he has also told them how, although you may destroy this temple on the third day, this temple will be restored again, speaking of his own body. The Lord Jesus Christ had told them about all these things, but they failed to see it. Watch against doubt. Now, temptations will come when there's a lack of trust in the Lord. You see, a lot of times, we succumb to temptations because we are not sure whether God can take care of us, whether God is good enough for us. When problems come our way, we grow so anxious. We run to and fro trying to find solutions and problems. There's a place for human responsibility. But do you trust in the sovereignty of God? Oftentimes, the reason why we try to engineer our own future is because we do not trust in the Lord. We try to get ourselves out of a difficult situation. Something has happened, and now we are confronted by our bosses. Who did this? And we are afraid that if I admit that I was the one who did it, my future, what will happen to my future? What will happen to my life? Better tell a lie so that I can get myself out of this problem. We do not trust in the Lord that if I do that which honors the Lord, if I do that which is according to the word of God, the Lord will take care of me. There may be consequences that I have to bear, but the Lord will take care of me. Oftentimes, we succumb to temptations because we do not trust. Watch, therefore, watch against doubt. Do not allow grief and sorrow to consume you, but guard your hearts against it. Now, in all of this, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, watch, it means that we have to watch and know our own weaknesses. Watch, see, this is what the Lord has warned. Be honest. Do you know your own weaknesses? Do you know if you have the problem of pride and arrogance? Do you know if you have the problem of having sinful ambitions? What is your weakness? How to overcome temptations? You need to watch and know your own weaknesses. Be honest. If you have a weakness for money, don't allow yourself to be placed in a situation where you'll be tempted by money. If your weakness is to usurp authority, then be mindful, watch, be awake, submit. when the moment you are tempted to usurp authority, remind yourself, what does the Bible say? Submit. If you have a weakness in procrastination, watch. Don't be lazy. Don't be complacent. Watch. We can never be too careful. The Lord Jesus Christ says, watch. Now, the second thing we can note here to overcome temptation would be to pray. Now, again, it's a very simple command. And this command here to pray, again, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us to keep on praying. Continue praying. Don't stop praying. Now, if you have a desire to watch, as we have considered, what are we to watch for? You would also acknowledge that your flesh is weak. Will we always be watchful? Will we always be mindful? Will we always be able to resist these temptations? And we know reality is we often struggle. So what should we do? This is why the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, pray. Now I need to explain one very important thing here. And you come back to Matthew chapter 26, where the Lord Jesus Christ said here, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now what does this mean? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When the Lord Jesus Christ says, pray. Now why must we pray? Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, this phrase or this sentence here has been sorely abused because it is an English idiom. But the meaning of the English idiom is not the meaning that is found here. Now, the English idiom simply expresses when you want something, but you also don't really want it and you cannot really do it. For example, I check online, you go and search English idioms and then you type this in. So they gave an example. And this is a wrong use of this verse. Okay, it's an English idiom, but it's a wrong use and not the meaning of this verse. They say, have you started your diet? Then you can say, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let's go for a run. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is how we would often use this English idiom. You want to do something, but your flesh, part of it, don't really want it. You cannot resolve to do it. It is frail. So, it is really you want something, but you don't really want it. That's what it means. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When they say the flesh, it's actually describing another part of you. It's used more of an excuse, as an excuse to not do something. Now, this is not the meaning of this verse here. Because when you read it carefully, the emphasis is not so much on the flesh being weak, but on the willingness of the spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is here really describing the reality that your human flesh is weak, but you have this earnest desire. Now, I've pointed out just now, if you paid attention, when I read Mark chapter 14, verse 38, the King James translators translated there the willing as being ready. Now, this word willing, the spirit is willing, doesn't just mean that the spirit wants it. It means that the spirit is eager to do it. It has an idea of it being ready. There's a desire, an eagerness to serve, to do the will of the Lord. In other words, here, when the Bible says the spirit indeed is willing, this is your desire. You truly do not want to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. You truly do not want to deny Him. You truly do not want to forsake Him. This is your desire. You want to honor the Lord. But there is the weakness of the human flesh. Therefore, pray for divine enabling. Now, this is the meaning here. This phrase is not an excuse to not do something. This phrase rather speaks of the desire, your eagerness. I really want to resist temptation. What can I do? But recognize the human flesh is indeed weak. Therefore, pray. Seek the Lord always. Watch and pray. So the Lord Jesus Christ here first explained to us and exhorted us. Why do we need to pray? Because this is your true desire, the desire of your heart to honor the Lord. But there is the weakness of the human flesh. Not necessarily the evil flesh. Here the word flesh doesn't describe necessarily the wickedness of the flesh. Just simply the weakness of the human flesh. Therefore, if this is your earnest desire, if you have the eagerness to do the will of the Lord, pray. Now, but what should we pray for? So why pray? Because this is your heart's desire. The Spirit is willing. What do we pray for? Now we can learn what we should pray for from what the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for. In John chapter 17, now we won't have time to go through this whole prayer because in John chapter 17, we have the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you have an opportunity, this is a wonderful chapter to study. Because immediately after John chapter 16, remember where we read how the Lord Jesus Christ says, "You will be scattered." He prayed for them. And what did he pray for? Now he prayed for many things, but he prayed in John chapter 17 verse 11 for the Lord's keeping. Pray. Our motivation to pray is to know also that the Lord Jesus Christ prays for us. How to overcome temptation? Know that the Lord Jesus Christ prays for us. And this must encourage us. The Lord Jesus Christ has prayed for our keeping. And we know that the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are always answered. Our faith will not fail because the Lord Jesus Christ has prayed for our keeping. Now I'd like to explain one very important truth, and that is in Luke chapter 22, verse 32. There the Lord Jesus Christ also prayed, and he told Simon. He says here in verse 31, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, to shake you up. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now, when we consider this theme of how to overcome temptation, we are not just asking the question, how can I be prevented from entering into temptation? But what if I have allowed temptation to afflict me? How can I now overcome out of this temptation? If I've already failed in this way, succumb to temptation, how can I now overcome and come out from this temptation? Because one of the things and one of the reasons why some Christians cannot overcome temptation is because the moment they have fallen in temptation, they grow so discouraged, despondent. They realize and they feel that they have no more hope. The Lord will not want me anymore. The Lord will not forgive me anymore. I can do nothing to save myself anymore. I'm now a failure. And therefore, since I'm so deep in temptation, I will just keep yielding to temptation. And they will use the very thing that first led them into temptation to overcome the very bitter or sad feeling of temptation. They try to make themselves feel better. And what would they do? They would use the very thing that led them into temptation to make themselves feel better. They would use the thing that first led them into addiction to try to get them out of addiction. So how to overcome temptation when you have already fallen into temptation? Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ has prayed for you. Now, did Peter deny the Lord Jesus Christ? We know that he did. But was the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ answered? Yes. Because Peter's faith did not fail. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ restored him again. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ said here in verse 32, "I have prayed for thee, Peter, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." The word "converted" here means to return again. When thou art returned again, strengthen thy brethren. You, in other words, Peter, will be returned again. You will be restored. Pray. As you pray, look at your praying Savior. There's nothing more encouraging than the sight of the praying Savior. Now, when we pray, we see our Savior praying for us. How to overcome temptation? Know that your Savior is praying for you. Is your faith shaken? Are you unable to overcome temptation because you are already in temptation? Then how to be delivered from this temptation? Remember, your Savior is praying for you. Now in this, when you know your Savior is praying for you, you can then truly pray. Pray for the Lord's keeping. Pray for the Lord's enabling. Pray for the Lord's strength. And pray for your testimony. This was what the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for Peter. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Pray for your testimony that you can be an encouragement to others as well. Pray. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Watch yourself. How to overcome? Two very simple truths. Watch and pray. Watch against complacency and pride. Watch against sinful and selfish ambitions. Watch against doubt. But in all your watching, watch against your own weaknesses. But as you watch, do you feel your human flesh struggling? Pray then. Pray for divine keeping. Pray for divine enabling. But as you pray, know that the Lord Jesus Christ prays for you. I believe one of the most effective ways we can overcome temptation is to never lose sight of our praying Savior. The sight of the praying Savior must move our hearts. Remember after the Apostle Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ, he grows so discouraged in his own faith. Remember the very moment the cock crew, the Lord Jesus Christ turned again and looked at Peter, and it broke Peter's heart. But after that, what restored Peter again? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ three times asked Peter, "Lovest thou me more than this? Feed my lamb." We know that the Apostle Peter later never denied the Lord Jesus Christ again. He would die a painful, horrible death for the sake of the gospel. But why did he not deny his faith again? Because he had the sight of this praying Savior. How to overcome temptation? Watch and pray. But always look at your praying Savior. And the Lord will enable and grant you the grace to overcome temptations. Let us pray. Our almighty, everlasting, eternal Heavenly Father, we have, through these past few months, meditated on the theme of temptations. This is a very real struggle in many of our lives. But we thank Thee that Thou hast helped us to understand what temptation is, and now also how to overcome them. But we acknowledge that our flesh is weak. But this is our heart's desire, O Lord, to not live in temptation, because we know how yielding to temptation, it grieves Thee, and how temptation and the yielding to it removes the privilege of enjoying Thy presence. We do not want to succumb to temptation, for it brings us into misery. It is a burden upon our souls. So, Lord, we pray, grant us Thy grace that we may resist temptation. Grant us Thy strength, Thy wisdom to know how to identify, to be watchful against temptation. Help us to to always raise our defense against the wiles of the evil one. But we also pray for some who may have allowed temptations to overwhelm them. They have been overcome with temptation. We pray for thy mercy upon them. Restore again hope in them. And as they look upon our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, may you grant them comfort and hope, knowing that in Christ, our faith will not fail. We find ourselves so weak often, but we thank thee because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ has prayed for us. This is then our hope as we continue to live our Christian lives upon this earth. We thank thee for thy watchful care and for thy enabling. Oh, we thank thee. This is our earnest prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.